Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this warm and welcoming congregation. You are welcome here, each of you, no matter who you are, or who you love, or where you came from, or your religious history. You're welcome if this is your very first time, or if you've been coming for 50 years. You are welcome whether you're home this morning in your pajamas, you're watching a recorded service later in the week, if you're wearing a mask, or if you're not wearing a mask, you are so welcome here. I just want to let everybody know that each week your order of service is available if you use the QR code that's in the PowerPoint at the front of the service. Or if you've been coming here, you should have an email that you can open each morning after 10 and have your order of service on your phone. And then if you would turn your phone off once you get it up so that it's on airplane mode, so you can see it, but you're not using bandwidth. That would be great for everybody who is at home. So I would love you for everyone to take time to greet their neighbors. And if you can't, say a warm welcome to somebody you've never met before. Several announcements this morning. You can continue these lovely conversations during coffee hour, which happens downstairs after the service, and we really welcome everyone to come down there and chat, especially if you're new. It's a good way to have some conversations and get to meet some people. So the other thing that's I have several announcements, actually. Today we're going to begin offering something called Compassionate Connection Circles. We're no longer able to do Spoken Joys and Sorrows because of the live streaming and the recording and being on YouTube. But we want an opportunity for people who are really experiencing difficulties or losses or sorrows to feel the compassion of our community. So after the service, anyone who's having some challenges in their life, losses, sorrows that are heavy on their heart, would gather in Forest Hall about 15 minutes after the service, and anyone who really feels like offering compassion to those who are struggling at this time. And we'll have a time to be together and help walk through the dark nights with these people. So we will be offering these once a month, and I'll announce them from here, and they'll also be in the e-blast, so you know when those are happening. So the other really great thing that's happening is we have a lot going on at WUF this week that is really fun and full of cheer and warmth, and we want to invite everybody. Singer-songwriter Simon Lynch and Richard Lobb will play at WUF tonight at 7 p.m., and they're going to close the service today, so you'll have some sense of what their music is like. On Friday, we have another singer-songwriter, Roy Zimmerman. He plays at 7 p.m. on Friday. He's been here before, and if you've seen him, he does satirical songs, and there's a lot of laughter and joy. And then on Saturday, we're having a talent show for all ages, from ages 3 to 2 to, you know, as old as we get in this congregation, which is 103. So that's from 4 to 6 on Saturday. There's more information in your announcements that came with your order of service. So now we light our chalice, and our words today are from Eric Walker Wickstrom. Here today, in this place, with these people, may we listen so we can hear. May we hear so that we can feel. May we feel so that we can know. And may we know so we can change ourselves and this world. May this chalice light the way. Let us say our affirmation.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
And let us rise and sing our first hymn, 1009, Meditation on Breathing. I'm not sure if the words are going to be up there or not. But it's pretty easy. You don't really need them.
Here we go. Good. So we're going to start this on the first line, which is just breathe in, breathe out. Very slow and steady. And then we'll lead you into it from there. So we go.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe.
Again.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in.
Now everyone sing the melody. This is when I breathe in. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out. I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out.
Keep it going.
When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace when I breathe out. I'll breathe out when I breathe in.
Breathe in.
Words were written by Reverend Tracy Springberry. We have gathered together in this place and across space and time. This too shall pass. We are happy. This too shall pass. We are sad. This too shall pass. We desire change. This too shall pass. We desire all to be just as it is. This too shall pass. We worry about government changes. All passes, all changes. So be present in this moment, however you are surrounded by a community of love. before it vanishes.
So I would like to invite any children who are here to come up to the front, or you can stay with your families if you wish. So this morning I'm going to tell you a Buddhist tale. It's one of my favorite Buddhist tales. So there was a man. He was out gathering wood in the forest. He's looking down. He's got all this wood in his arms. And he looks up right into the eyes of a tiger. He throws that wood right in that tiger's face, and he turns and he runs as fast as he can. He dodges around trees. He leaps over boulders. He moves around the blackberry bushes. He runs as hard and as fast as he can. But the truth of the matter is, tigers run faster than people. And just as he can feel the tiger breathing on the back of his neck, that humid breath, and hear his rasping lungs, he sees a cliff. There is a big vine that is going down over the cliff. He grabs it and flings himself off the cliff just in the nick of time. He's sitting there, his heart pounding so hard. He steadied his feet against the edge. He's holding on with a grip. His heart is pounding. He looks up, and the tiger's face is coming down over the cliff. And he looks down, and there is another tiger below him, her eyes right on him, her tail going back and forth very slowly. He squeezes the vine harder and feels a weird vibration in that vine and looks up just a little. And there on a little ledge are two mice, and they are chewing the vine. He looks over and he sees out of the corner of his eyes something bright red. He looks over, and there is the largest, reddest strawberry he's ever seen. He grips the vine tight with one hand. He reaches out and just is able to grasp that strawberry. He bites. It is the sweetest, most lush strawberry he's ever eaten. I gratefully receive this offering for all the work that we do within and without our walls. So today our joys and sorrows and meditation is going to be structured slightly different than what you've been used to. So this too shall pass. There is so much happiness in this world. Goodness, love, and beauty grow within and around us. Together here, we create a circle of celebration deep enough to hold all the joy of our lives. We give thanks especially for everyone who helped make our elections safe, smooth, joyful, and informed. Whether you wrote postcards, did phone or text banking, knocked on people's doors, or served as an election day judge, monitor, in some other row, we give thanks for your service. We are grateful that Tuesday's elections drew so many people out to vote and that the elections and their aftermath have unfolded without violence and voter intimidation. We also give thanks today for every person who has served our country in the armed forces and for their friends and families who supported them. Now is a time that you can speak your joy or gratitude into the room, or hold it in your hearts. There's so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering. Together here, we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all the sorrows of our lives. We hold especially today those who died in service to our country and their families and their friends who loved and mourned them. We hold those who come back from war forever changed. May we always show our veterans compassion and work for a just world where no one is sent to die as a solution to problems. Please speak the names of those people today that you're holding in your heart, or any veterans in your life. Now is time for our meditation, reflection, and prayer. Our poem is from Rosemary Wachtola Tromer. I want a word that means okay and not okay. More than that, a word that means devastated and stunned with joy. I want a word that says, I feel it all at once. The heart is not like a songbird, singing only one note at a time, more like a Tovan throat singer, able to sing both a drone and simultaneously two or three harmonics high above it. A sound, the Tovan say, that give the impression of wind swirling among rocks. The heart understands swirl, how the churning of opposite feelings weaves through us like an insistent breeze, leads us wordlessly deeper into ourselves, blesses us with paradox, so we might walk more openly into this world so ripe with devastation, this world so ripe with joy.
Each of us.
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 Thank you.
each of us
inevitable.
Very short readings are from Gautama Buddha. I teach only suffering and the transformation of suffering. Letting go of our suffering is the hardest work we will ever do.
So after the choir and those readings, I feel like we could just say amen and have some coffee. And there we are. So I've spent this week and, you know, a little bit before this week working on a sermon explaining the Buddhist understanding of suffering. And this was to be part of a sermon series that I am doing on suffering. I had discovered last year that I was working from an unconscious theology of suffering that was influencing how I reacted to life in a very unhelpful way. I reacted to suffering as if it meant something was wrong with me or the world. If I suffered or others suffered, it was a sign that something needed to be fixed. A good life under this theology is one without suffering. One where right action that we have controlled, the right actions we control, can create lives of maximum happiness. Forms of this theology abound within Unitarian Universalism and our dominant culture, where we do think a lot of times that we can control the outcomes, which isn't true. Just say that. If that didn't go. Okay. So in my first sermon, I explored the book of Job in the Old Testament. And it's one of the earliest human writings, maybe the earliest, grappling with the issue of suffering. And after much suffering and much angst, the gist of the teaching is that suffering is just how the world is. Suffering just happens. We don't get to understand it. And bad things are just going to happen. And the very best that we can do is offer each other comfort. The foundation of Buddhism are Buddhist teachings on suffering. These are known as the Four Noble Truths. These were preached at his very first, when he very first started preaching to the people. And these truths, the Four Noble Truths, define suffering. They name the cause of suffering and offer the solution to suffering. Much of the Buddhist philosophy on why we suffer focuses on impermanence and the constant change of everything that happens, which is why I decided to preach on it this month, because our theme is change. So this week I read and I listened to podcasts and I typed away about the Four Noble Truths. But then late on Thursday, my ADHD mind decided instead that it was very important that I write the Chalice Circle for this coming week. And the sessions are to be on the holidays and changes we've made in the holiday season. And I thought there might be a good quote from a sermon that I wrote quite a few years ago about the expectations of the holiday season. And so I found that sermon squirreled away in a long unopened folder called The Land of Christmas Expectations. And I began to read and was fairly stunned to discover a sermon that described much better than anything that I had typed the entire week the Buddhist philosophy of suffering, which isn't really how it's supposed to go. I mean, you know, if you wrote a sermon a very long time ago, the one you're writing today should, in fact, be better. That's what you hope for, anyway. So I paused at that moment, and I thought, should I just share the sermon instead? But wasn't it unthinkable to mention the winter holidays in church on November 13th? Or deliver a sermon that mentioned Christmas without Christmas music? But then I figured, the stores brought out the holiday decorations and supplies weeks ago, and I'm sure many of us are already scheduling the holiday events. Plus, Winco has been trying to sell me eggnog without one note of Winter Wonderland. So, here it is. Christmas through the lens of Buddhist suffering. In the classic book, The Phantom Tollbooth, the hero Milo receives a surprising gift, a game that includes a tollbooth, tollfare, a map, a car, and a rule book. Not knowing what else to do, Milo assembles his gift and heads through the toll booth and arrives promptly in the land of expectations. Not having quite as much choice as Milo, but also not knowing what else to do, most of us this time of year head through the gateway of Thanksgiving and arrive, just as Milo did, in the land of expectations. The holiday stretch of the Land of Expectations freeway is a festive place, marked extravagantly with huge billboards flashing bright colored lights and singing destinations you can expect if all goes well. Happiest time of the year, says one. Times you will always remember, says another. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Heart-melting family moments. Joyful, giddy children, winter wonderland romance, perfect, life-changing gifts. In order to be helpful, other signs provide directions on how to get to those destinations. Buy gifts, make gifts, send cards, attend plays and concerts, simplify and focus on your values, see more friends, go to more parties. Have a party. Stay at home. Bake more. Bake less. Give away more. Volunteer. Enjoy more. Love more. Work harder. You can do it all. Our heads whirl this way and that as we listen and read the expectations and directions, so caught up in all the Christmas music and all the color that we frequently, as Milo does, in the Phantom Tollbooth, get disoriented, and don't pay complete attention. We don't notice the piles of cars that have skidded off into the pit marked disappointment, or the large broken-down building with peeling paint, cracked windows, and mold on the roof called the Exhaustion Hotel, or the two-lane crowded exit to disillusionment, or the exit to escape littered with rum bottles and tickets to Mexico, or the fog-shrouded exit leading straight to depression. Or we don't notice these until after grasping at some moment of perfect happiness we can't quite seize, we lose our balance and find ourselves skidding into a ditch or down an exit we didn't quite plan on. In the land of expectation, things can go easily wrong, and they usually do. So we decide to simplify this year and make all our own gifts, but after screaming at the sewing machine we haven't touched in 10 years, for the third time in one afternoon, wonder why making gifts is considered simple. We walk through Macy's or frantically click through the pages on Amazon.com and realize again we cannot ever get our mother or our aunt or father or child or grandchild the gift that will make them truly happy and filled with the knowledge that we love them. Or we want to go to a concert and movie and realize no one has time for us and we begin to wonder if anyone ever does. Or our child informs us they won't be able to see us this year because they have to work or it costs too much or they're going to be with their significant other's family. Or we start to remember just how awful Christmas Day was last year, with our uncle repeating the same three war stories, a parent or a cousin or child who got drunk and belligerent, the younger children who never said thank you and got sullen when required to sit at the table for dinner, or someone dies or is diagnosed with a fatal illness, or we desperately miss someone who died, or we are in pain from divorce or job loss or broken relationships of other kinds, and we just can't bear anything cheerful. Christmas, the signs in the land of expectation remind us, should be about love, enjoyment, warm and happy relationships, and instead sometimes we feel irritated, overwhelmed, and heartbroken. Suffering is a part of life, the Buddha taught in his first noble truth. We know all of us will suffer through illness and loss and death. According to the Buddha, there are other kinds of suffering too, smaller kinds of suffering, like we set out to make dinner, expect to eat something nutritious and tasty, and then we burn it, and thus suffer from disappointment and embarrassment. Or we might suffer after having a great day with someone to only have it end in an argument. We suffer because we are grieving that those moments we enjoyed are gone, and we just wonder how things fell apart. In his second noble truth, the Buddha taught that suffering is craving something or clinging to it or pushing away something we don't want. We suffer because we desire or crave certain objects or futures or emotions and cling to the idea that we will not be happy unless they happen or continue to happen. However, we discover that when we achieve what we desire, the satisfaction of what we got is only temporary because change is always happening. We suffer because we have beliefs, desires, cravings, and expectations about how our life will or should be. But then those wants don't come to pass. Life is not controllable, said the Buddha. The world and people are not perfect, nor are they meant to do our bidding. We cannot make the world as we want it to be. However, human beings are born with wanting minds. We want. We crave, we cling, and we are averse to all those things we don't like, and thus we suffer. Through the lens of the Buddhist conception of suffering, the American Christmas season is hell. If Buddhists believed in hell. The entire tradition is about craving and desiring. We desire gifts and joyful experiences. We crave food and perfect loving moments with family and friends. We desire feelings of peace and joy and serenity. We crave the pleasure of giving gifts that cause a smile or a hoot of surprise. We desire receiving gifts that show the giver truly knows and appreciates us. The season builds anticipation and intensity of desire. I mean, spend any time with an elementary child, you know all about it. We wait for visitors, gifts, parties, vacations, and family gatherings. We prepare by imagining how we want them to be, and then we work for that perfection. We are promised in songs and advertisements by the partisan worth ethic and by our own expectations that if we work hard and do everything right, a delightful, loving, holy Christmas season will be ours. And so we learn to expect it. Even those of us who have become quite disillusioned became that way because we once expected Christmas magic that did not happen. An expectation is a desire or craving or clinging that is solidified. It is a craving with should attached to it. We want Christmas to be fun. Everyone says it is fun. It should be fun. We expect it to be fun. An expectation is an idea about what the future will or should hold. However, the future is unknowable. We can't control it and make things come out the way we think they should. When it comes to so many holiday expectations, well, they're just fantasies. Perfection, wonderful moments that last on and on, people who can meet our expectations all of the time. None of these things exist, no matter what advertisers, Christmas carols, and holiday movies would like us to believe. I, for one, have been battered on the holiday land of expectation freeway. I have taken every exit. I have been in lots of wrecks with other people's expectations, and I've spent a great deal of time at the Exhaustion Hotel. I keep going back, though, because fundamentally I believe in a holiday that puts love at the center and contemplates the meaning of hope. I believe that is a good thing. Battered or not, each year I sing along with the songs, watch the flashing lights, peer at the directions on how to have a great Christmas, sincerely believing that if I could just get the right map and follow the directions, I can have the perfect, loving, joyful season. Which, according to the Buddhist, is just wrong. According to them, if I desire peace and love, I have to be peace and love. And the only way to be peace and love is to give up expectations and grasping and clinging and aversion altogether, including the expectation for peace and love. Expectations make us work so hard. They make us try to control things we cannot control. And the outcome is frequently anger, judgment, and disappointment. So what is the other way? What can we do? The Buddhists say the road to life without suffering is possible only by giving up our tendencies to grasp for and cling to what we desire and pushing away what we don't want. That is the third noble truth. We have to accept things exactly as they are. And we do this by following the Eightfold Path the fourth noble truth, which is a whole sermon on its own. It is 8 parts, so. And they admit right up front that the following the Eightfold Path is difficult and that it can take many lifetimes to complete the journey. So it seems really likely that most of us aren't going to reach that state this particular Christmas or anytime soon. However, there are things we can do to lighten the load and find a new road, though it is not the freeway through holiday expectations. So here are some suggestions. First, notice your expectations. This is especially helpful if you find yourself during the holidays in disillusionment or depression or exhaustion or in a car wreck with other people's expectations. So consider, what do you expect during the holidays? What do you expect from yourself and from others? What do you grasp for or cling to? What do you dread? Just noticing your expectations is the very first step in transforming them. Second, forgive. Forgive yourself for all the times you didn't live up to your own expectations or the expectations of others. Consider forgiving those who didn't live up to your expectations during the holidays. This is difficult, but it is important if you want the ghosts of Christmas past to stop haunting you so that you can live in the present. Third, be mindful. This is always the Buddhist go-to. Be mindful. Mindfulness is the act of being completely present. Mindfulness is tasting each bite of food and appreciating it. And if you've gone through a lot of work and money for that food, you should appreciate every bite. It is listening to music with your full being rather than have it nattering in the background. It's attending to all the lights everywhere during the season and just feeling their glory. Mindfulness is unfortunately wickedly difficult. The human brain, as we all know, likes to flit around. It likes to think about next week, worry about work or the family or the state of the world, or make plans for what will happen in 5 minutes or 5 years from now. The human mind does not like to stay put. However, spiritual gurus through the ages have learned that when the mind is in the present, we are free from craving, clinging, aversion, and expectations. Then we are free to be truly alive. Fourth, accept what is. According to the Buddha, we suffer when we want our experience to be different than it is. So imagine something difficult happens right before what is supposed to be a fun Christmas event. We may try to stop feeling irritated or hurtful so we can have all that fun that we were expecting to have. If we are not successful, we may become angry and in even a worse mood. The Buddha's solution would be to accept that we are upset, that a bad thing happened. The Buddhists believe we do experience pain. It's suffering is when we sort of, the stories we tell about that pain. So just accept it. Feel the upset. Show up at the event. Find out what happens. If our lives are crumbling from death, illness, divorce, and other tragedies, it's okay to just let our grief be, instead of being however you think you maybe should be for the holidays. Fifth, live into the possibilities. Possibilities, writes Philip Moffat, one of the teachers at Spirit Rock Meditation Center, are based in the present moment where you are alive to the mystery of life. Instead of wrestling the holidays, or any day, into a predetermined mold to fit our expectations, we become mindful of what is actually happening and use our imagination, love, and compassion to help create the next moment. So what if instead of driving down the holiday expectations freeway this time of year, we walked down a gravel road to the village of possibilities? Trees and brick buildings surround a bustling town square. Just 3 signs give directions. Accept says one. Pay attention, says another. Be loving, says the last. The trees are heavy with life happenings. People pick them off or they drop suddenly on their heads. Some are good things, like delicious sugar cookies with puffy green frosting, a perfect ski day with sun glinting on the snow, or fun playing board games with a child. Some are difficult. An empty bank account, a family fight, a work crisis, an illness. People consider these life happenings alone or in groups, and then they look around the square. Everywhere are possibilities. They could sit on one of the just being benches, or party at the laugh out loud bar, or go to the Grove for a good cry. They could head down the path to It's a Surprise Christmas Tree Forest, or spend the night at the Forgiveness Hotel, where they conveniently offer 2-for-1 dinner special or free dessert for those who dine alone. The Love Yourself Spa with treatments for every mood beckons. So does the Creativity Mall, where they sprinkle sparkles of imagination or offer ways you haven't dreamed of yet and wonderful ideas in brightly covered boxes. Life happens. It just happens. It changes from moment to moment, surprising us. After that, all is possibilities. There are only 3 clear directions, except pay attention and be loving. Those who pause on the cold, crisp air, night air and look to the east can see a bright burning star, and below it the words, peace on earth and to all goodwill. We will now hear from Simon and Richard.
All love comes back to you. It's all giving and taking. Don't ever be a fool, no. And try to mend the heart you're breaking. Do-do, do-do. Thought is but a thought. If a heart is not behind it, and love can't be sold nor bought, but if you get, you must repay it. And if one day you do find just what you left behind, ring a bell and make the spotlight clear. You see, magic will appear. Give me love, give me love, and I'll bring it back to you. Give me love, give me love, and I'll bring it back to you. In your mind, it might be past or present, but since time we can't rewind, oh, you better stop and take its lesson. And if one day you do find just what you left behind, ring a bell and make the spotlight clear. You see, magic will appear. Give me love. love, and I'll bring it back to you. Give me love, give me love, and I'll bring it back to you. Oh,
give me love.
Thank you so much. So this moment is passing. Experience it with compassion. I extinguish the flame, but not the vision or compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.